Exodus, the 5th chapter, chapter 5, verse 22. Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. But the Lord said to Moses, Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of this land. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you will know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. So the Lord said to Moses, Go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But Moses said to the Lord, Behold, the people of Israel have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge about the people of Israel and about Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, the section that we look at this morning is about Moses confronting the Lord over the reason why Israel had not yet been delivered from Egypt. We see that in verse 22 of chapter 5 especially. You've done evil against the people. Why did you send me? And then he says, you have not delivered your people at all. Remember, Moses had been charged by the Lord to go to Pharaoh. Moses had gone to Pharaoh. He had told Pharaoh, let my people go. And now Moses comes back and he says to the Lord, it ain't happening. You haven't let your people go. If you think about that for a moment, you might wonder with Moses' response to the Lord, why the Lord was not harsh with him. Remember earlier on in the previous chapter, we read how the Lord was angry with Moses. And now Moses comes back to the Lord and he speaks these words about the Lord not doing these things, not saving or delivering his people, getting them out of the land of Egypt as he had promised. Does God rebuke Moses? Does God say to Moses, you've kind of stepped over the line here? No. He doesn't rebuke Moses. He responds to Moses as chapter 6, verse 1 says, Now the Lord says, Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh of Egypt. I like those words. You will see what I will do. And what he says is, Moses, Pharaoh is going to send you out by a strong arm. He's going to throw you out of the land. But what God says is that I am going to do something. And what God is saying here is that he is sovereign. He is in control. And through the next few verses, he tells Moses about the covenant that he had made with his people. But beginning with this verse that says, "See what I will do," what that is describing is what the theologians use and call in the word sovereignty. The sovereignty of God is at issue here. And God is sovereign. And when he says, "See what I will do," he is going to demonstrate his mighty power and his mighty hand. His mighty hand over against Pharaoh's mighty hand. He is Lord. In the Westminster Confession of Faith, it says this: "God from all eternity did by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will freely, unchangeably ordain whatever comes to pass." And then this: "God is sovereign over all the affairs of humanity, working his plan." You might say that the confession would say about this verse that that's what God's saying: "Moses, I'm working out my plan. Now see what I will do. See what I will do to Pharaoh. I will cause Pharaoh to drive out the Hebrews from the land." What is this saying? It says this: Pharaoh is in the hand of a sovereign God. God is in control. Israel may have forgotten that in the 400 years of time that had passed while they were in Egypt. And they could have been saved in those 400 years at any moment. And God could have done it in many different ways. In his commentary on these verses, John Calvin says this about this passage. He says, "It was indeed possible for God to overwhelm Pharaoh at once." And I like this. Calvin has a unique way of things. "Overwhelm Pharaoh at once by a single nod." God's power is sovereign by a single nod. He could have delivered him. He could have had Pharaoh fall down before the very sight of Moses, Calvin says, but he chose a way to clearly lay open his power. For if Pharaoh had voluntarily yielded or been overcome without effort, the glory of the victory would not have been so glorious. But God wished to accustom his servants in all ages to patience, lest they should faint in their minds if he does not immediately answer their prayers at every moment, relieve them from their distresses. I think Calvin captures what's going on with Moses. Was Moses saying, "Lord, you haven't answered our prayers. You didn't deliver us. You haven't delivered your people at all." They had probably prayed for the Lord year after year, century after century, but he didn't deliver them from their distresses because God in his sovereignty had a plan and a purpose for them, and it was his plan and his purpose at this moment to demonstrate his sovereign power as God and God alone. And that's why he goes on in chapter 6, beginning at verse 2, to speak about the name of God. God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord." Now, in our Bibles, we have it translated in all capital letters. That simply means that from the Hebrew, it's the word Yahweh, which is the name for God, the name that he has given. And he says in this passage, "I didn't appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in that way. I appeared as God Almighty." It's the word El Shaddai in Hebrew, where it speaks of God all-powerful. But he says, "I have appeared now as Yahweh, the sovereign, covenant-keeping God." One author whom I don't quote too often is Peter Enns, and he offers a paraphrase of this. And although I don't like a lot of the things that that particular author has given us, I think that in this case, the statement that he made is true. He says, "I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but only partially in the capacity of El Shaddai. But who am I fully? which is what my name Yahweh captures, I did not make known to them. That is what he is making known now to the Exodus generation, who will witness what? His mighty saving power. That's really what's going on in this passage. God is going to show his mighty sovereign power. He's going to show it to Pharaoh. He's going to show it to Israel. He shows it to us through the scripture. And he has done that over and over and over again. 1,500 years later, the same compassion of God was moved to send his only begotten Son to be our Savior. He sent his only begotten Son into this world. He saw that the people he loved were enslaved by the powers of sin, and he remembered his unbreakable promise of salvation. When Zechariah the priest heard what God was about to do, this is what he said: "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham." Our God remembered his covenant in Jesus Christ. On Christmas morning, when Jesus was born, he fulfilled that covenant promise to bring salvation to sinners. This is what God is saying to Moses. The Lord is saying to Moses, look what I will do to Pharaoh. With a strong hand, he will let them go. With a strong hand, he will drive them out of the land. The Lord made no answer to Moses' impatient inquiries, but he reaffirmed his immutable, unchanging purpose. The defiant Pharaoh might insist that I will not let Israel go, but the Most High God says Pharaoh will drive them out of the land. With a strong arm, he will let them go. Notice that there are no ifs in that statement. There's no perhaps. Maybe it'll work out this way. This event of the Exodus was absolutely certain, based upon the eternal decree of a sovereign God. And this God, who speaks these words to Moses, speaks to us, his people, and has spoken to us through his word, and we have through the centuries that unfailing promise of God that his word will go forth. We read it earlier in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. It says, my word will go forth. It will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word will accomplish God's purpose. In other words, God will do it. That is absolutely certain. I think we need to take an encouragement from that, don't we? As God's people, do we need to remember the Exodus, our Exodus, God saving us, and God's powerful word? His word is certain. There's no if, there's no perhaps, but there is certainty, because God is God. He will accomplish his covenant. There will never come a point at which the church will have a point where God is not there, that Christians will have a God who doesn't hear them. That can't happen, because God will always accomplish his covenant, because his word has declared it, and his word will powerfully work. We ought to move forward as God's people on the basis of the fact that we understand that God's word is absolutely certain. We ought to have mission programs that are based upon that. Our mission programs ought to be based on God's word, that God is going to accomplish his sovereign purpose. Our education ought to be based upon God's word. All things are to be based on the infallible, certain word of the living God. And God says he is the one who is going to bless his people. Can we rest in that? We should. As God's people, we should rest in the amazing word of the sovereign God, who is faithful to his everlasting covenant, so faithful that he sent his son into this world to die for sinners. And we are a part of that lot that he has redeemed and made his very own. Well, as we turn back to Moses and to what is going on, the time has come where the Lord is going to fulfill that covenant in this engagement with Israel. He's going to show them his power to deliver them. His covenant name implies that power. He is Yahweh, Lord of all. And he is the faithful performer of his word. He is the one who is going to deliver to these people what their fathers had not received. Remember, he goes back and he says, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were promised all of these things. And in God's word, he promises many things to his people. We find it in Genesis chapter 17 as well. Several things like are those that are mentioned in this passage are there. He says, I will give you a land that is exceedingly fruitful. Where are the people of Israel at? They're at the point at which God is going to deliver them from Egypt to where? To Canaan, to the land that he had promised. And he says, I will make nations of you and kings will come from you, he says in Genesis 17. But notice he also says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed and their generations for an everlasting covenant. I will do all of these things. I will give you the land of Canaan. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, he says in this passage. I will deliver you from slavery, redeem you with an outstretched arm. That outstretched arm speaks of his sovereignty and his power. And I will take you to be my people. I will be your God, and you will be my people. That's the covenant language. This promise is the very heart of the covenant in which God takes this people and draws them to himself and makes them his very own by free grace. It wasn't because they were greater, better, had something to give to God. No, it was because God in love came to them and said, you will be my people. That's the covenant promise that God gives in this passage to Israel by free and sovereign grace. He comes to those who are enslaved by sin, and he says, I'm going to set you free. And he says that to you, and he says that to me. And no matter how much we sin, and when we sin, we even try to stop sinning, but we don't stop sinning, we keep on sinning. And the bonds of sin are so tight, they prevent us from truly living for Jesus, even though we hear the good news of the gospel. And that living in sin and that constant sin, the theologians call the doctrine of total inability. In other words, it means that sinners cannot come to God on their own accord. Sinners must come by the power of God. And that's what we receive in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our larger catechism says that we are utterly indisposed, disabled, and made opposite to all that is spiritually good. There is nothing good in us. We can't save ourselves. We can't come to God by ourselves. The only way we come to God is that God has first come to us. He came to us and he broke the chains of sin. He came to us and he brought us a new life in the power of the gospel of his Son. He came to us and set us free by grace, by a love that he had for us from all eternity. Before we were even born, he loved us and desired to save us, and he freed us from our sin. That's divine intervention. He brought us out of our slavery by a gospel of his Son who died for us. This is the message of the gospel that Moses hears, and the message we must hear as well. A gospel of sovereign, gracious love. We ought to praise God for his marvelous grace, for his plan to redeem. Praise him for sending his Son into this world to die in our place to give us forgiveness and everlasting life. Let us praise him always. Amen.